Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play on this one because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam important topics in GCSE biology, health and disease. This is topic 3.1 and it comes up in almost every paper, so getting this right could genuinely transform your grade. Over the next 10 minutes, I'm going to walk you through everything you need to know from the difference between communicable and non-communicable diseases, right through to how your immune system fights off invaders, how drugs get developed and tested, and the lifestyle factors that affect your long-term health. I'll also give you the exam tips that examiners actually want to see, flag the most common mistakes students make, run you through a quick-fire quiz, and finish with a punchy summary you can use for last-minute revision. So get comfortable, maybe grab a pen, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Health is defined as a state of physical and mental well-being, not just the absence of disease. That's an important distinction. Disease disrupts normal body function, and diseases fall into two broad categories: communicable and non-communicable. Communicable diseases are caused by pathogens, that's bacteria, viruses, fungi, and protists, and they can be passed from one organism to another. Think of the flu, COVID-19, malaria, or Salmonella food poisoning. They spread through different routes: aerosol droplets when someone coughs or sneezes, direct contact with an infected person or surface, contaminated water, body fluids, insect vectors like mosquitoes, or contaminated food. Non-communicable diseases, on the other hand, cannot be passed between people. These include cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and certain cancers. They're often linked to lifestyle factors, and we'll come back to those shortly. Now, your body has a brilliant set of defenses against pathogens. The non-specific defenses are your first line of protection. They work against any pathogen, not just specific ones. The skin acts as a physical barrier, preventing pathogens from entering. If the skin is broken, blood clots form quickly to seal the wound. The mucus in your respiratory tract traps pathogens, and tiny hair-like structures called cilia sweep that mucus and the trapped pathogens away from your lungs. Stomach acid kills most pathogens that enter through food or drink. But what happens when a pathogen gets through? That's where your immune system takes over. And this is where it gets really interesting. Your immune system has two key types of white blood cell. First, phagocytes. These are the first responders. They engulf and digest pathogens in a process called phagocytosis. Think of them as the Pac-Man of your immune system, gobbling up invaders. They're non-specific, meaning they attack any pathogen they encounter. Second, lymphocytes. These are the specialists. When a pathogen enters your body, it carries unique proteins on its surface called antigens. Lymphocytes detect these antigens and produce specific antibodies, proteins shaped to fit that particular antigen, like a lock and key. The antibodies bind to the antigens, clumping pathogens together so phagocytes can destroy them more easily. Some lymphocytes produce antitoxins, which neutralize the toxins that bacteria release. Here's the clever part. After the infection is cleared, some lymphocytes remain in your body as memory cells. If the same pathogen invades again, these memory cells recognize it immediately and produce antibodies much faster and in greater quantities. This is why your second response to an infection is so much quicker. You barely notice it. This is also the principle behind vaccination. Vaccines contain a weakened, dead, or harmless version of a pathogen, or just its antigens. Your immune system responds as if it's a real infection, producing antibodies and memory cells. If you later encounter the real pathogen, your immune system is ready. Vaccination has eradicated smallpox and dramatically reduced diseases like polio and measles. However, parental decisions about vaccination are influenced by factors including perceived risk of side effects, misinformation, and cultural beliefs. And examiners love asking you to evaluate these factors. Now let's talk about antibiotics. These are medicines that kill bacteria. But here's the critical point that students often get wrong. Antibiotics do not kill viruses. They only work on bacterial infections. Overuse and misuse of antibiotics has led to antibiotic resistance, where bacteria evolve to survive antibiotic treatment. MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, is a well-known example of an antibiotic-resistant superbug. This is a serious global health problem, and examiners frequently ask about it. Let's move on to drug development. Before any new medicine reaches patients, it goes through a rigorous testing process. First comes preclinical testing. The drug is tested in the laboratory on cells and tissues, and then on animals. This checks for toxicity, efficacy, and dosage. Then comes clinical testing in three phases. Phase 1 involves a small group of healthy volunteers to check safety. Phase 2 involves a larger group of patients to check effectiveness and dosage. Phase 3 is a large-scale, randomized, double-blind trial comparing the drug against a placebo. In a double-blind trial, neither the patient nor the doctor knows who is receiving the real drug. This eliminates bias. Only after all these stages can a drug be approved for use. Plants also have defense mechanisms, and this is a section students often underestimate. Physical defenses include tough cell walls, waxy cuticles on leaves, and thorns or bark. Chemical defenses include producing antibacterial chemicals, poisons to deter herbivores, and attracting predators of the insects that attack them. These are genuinely fascinating adaptations and can appear in exam questions asking you to distinguish between physical and chemical defenses. Finally, lifestyle factors. Non-communicable diseases are strongly linked to how we live. Lack of exercise, poor diet, alcohol consumption, smoking, and excessive UV exposure all increase the risk of specific diseases. Smoking increases the risk of lung cancer and cardiovascular disease. Excess alcohol damages the liver. Obesity, linked to poor diet and inactivity, increases the risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. UV radiation from sunlight or sunbeds increases the risk of skin cancer. Examiners want you to link specific factors to specific diseases, not just say unhealthy lifestyle causes disease. For cardiovascular disease specifically, treatments include statins, drugs that lower blood, cholesterol levels, angioplasty, which widens blocked arteries using a balloon and stent, and lifestyle changes such as improved diet and increased exercise. Examiners often ask you to evaluate the advantages and disadvantages of these treatments. Right, let's talk exam technique. Here are the most important tips. Number one, never say antibiotics kill viruses. This is one of the most common errors in the entire GCSE, and it will cost you marks every single time. Antibiotics kill bacteria. Full stop. Number two, when describing the immune response, use precise terminology. Don't just say white blood cells fight infection. Say lymphocytes produce specific antibodies complementary to the antigens on the pathogen's surface. That's the language that earns marks. Number three, when a question asks you to explain something, always use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, vaccination is effective because it stimulates the production of memory cells, which enable a faster secondary immune response if the pathogen is encountered again. Number four, for drug development questions, always mention both preclinical and clinical stages. Students who only describe one stage lose marks. Number five, when evaluating vaccination decisions, remember this is a balance of probability argument. The scientific evidence overwhelmingly supports vaccination, but you must acknowledge that some parents have concerns, and then explain why the evidence supports vaccination. Number six, for lifestyle factor questions, be specific. Don't say smoking causes disease. Say, smoking increases the risk of lung cancer because carcinogens in tobacco smoke cause mutations in lung cell DNA. Number seven, distinguish carefully between phagocytes and lymphocytes. Phagocytes engulf and digest pathogens, nonspecific. Lymphocytes produce specific antibodies, specific to one antigen. Time for your quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Question one, name the 4 types of pathogen. Ready? Bacteria, viruses, fungi, and protists. Question two, what is the role of memory cells? They remain in the body after infection and enable a faster, larger antibody response if the same pathogen is encountered again. Question three, why don't antibiotics work on viral infections? Because antibiotics target bacterial cell structures. Viruses don't have these structures. Question four, what is a double-blind trial? A trial where neither the patient nor the doctor knows who is receiving the real drug to eliminate bias. Question five, name 2 physical plant defenses. Any 2 from tough cell walls, waxy cuticles, thorns, bark. Brilliant work, staying with me to the end. Let's wrap up with your 5 key takeaways. 1, Communicable diseases are caused by pathogens and can spread between organisms. Non-communicable diseases cannot spread and are often linked to lifestyle. 2. Your immune system uses phagocytes for non-specific defense and lymphocytes for specific defense via antibody production. Memory cells enable faster secondary responses. 3. Vaccination works by introducing antigens to stimulate antibody and memory cell production without causing disease. 4. Antibiotics kill bacteria only, never viruses. Antibiotic resistance, as seen in MRSA, is a growing global problem. 5. Drug development requires preclinical testing, followed by 3 phases of clinical trials, including a double-blind, randomized controlled trial. You've got this. Go back through your notes, test yourself on those key definitions, and remember, every mark you earn on this topic is a mark closer to the grade you deserve. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.